Hi, welcome to the Introvert Entrepreneur Podcast for January 20th, 2012. I'm Beth Below, founder of the Introvert Entrepreneur. The Introvert Entrepreneur is a personal and professional development company that provides services for introverts and those who live, work, and play with them. Our goal is to create empowered, productive environments where introverts can flourish. The key to that is understanding and appreciating what it means to be an innie in an outie world. Professional services are designed for entrepreneurs, corporations and organizations, and individuals who want to focus on their personal development. It's interesting that as I was editing this podcast interview about collaboration, a really fabulous New York Times piece ran about the rise of the new group think. It was written by Susan Cain, whose book, Quiet: The Power of Introverts in a World That Can't Stop Talking, is about to be published. In her New York Times piece, Susan expresses concern about the push in corporate environments to have open workspaces and a team-centric approach to innovation. She makes the point that solitude often sparks creativity, and these current groupthink trends don't provide much space for solitude. Today's conversation serves as another perspective, this time looking through the lens of entrepreneurship. Rather than being forced into groupthink situations, introvert entrepreneurs often experience the opposite challenge of isolation or of too much time alone. The middle ground between working in complete solitude and working in all teams all the time is strategic collaboration. My podcast guests, both introverts, are examples of successful and strategic collaboration in action. Creativity expert and co-author Monique McKinnon coaches passionate entrepreneurs and professionals about how to find their own unique path to success and happiness quickly, easily, and enjoyably. Monique's expertise includes the art and science of hand analysis, plus 22 years teaching experience and a university degree in education. An internationally recognized authority as a business coach for introverts, Pat Weber helps people motivated for change to discover their personal breakthrough for ultimate success. Pat's been serving clients with coaching, teleclasses, training, and books since 1990. Hi, Pat and Monique. This is the first time I've interviewed two people for the podcast, so I am super excited to have you both here with me today. So I want to start out by laying out a basic definition, because collaboration might mean something different to different people. So how do you define collaboration, and how can we recognize or create opportunities for it?
Beth, this is Pat, and first I do want to thank you for Monique and myself for inviting us to be here, and we're excited to talk about collaborating. I think we're going on 2 years of collaborating, so I hope our definition will sound right. I think that collaboration, since the proliferation of the internet, has become so central to anybody's online success, or even offline success for that matter. And we kind of see it as how we work together to deliver products or services as a whole new entity, but not losing our individuality of either ourselves or our organizations. And for Monique and I, as I think it must be with almost any collaboration, because I know Monique's into others and so am I, you're ending up combining your time, your energy, your resources so that you can reap some rewards that are greater than you likely could do just on your own. I think it's just that's easy to say, that that's working together and bringing all those things into that togetherness as a new kind of business under a separate umbrella.
I appreciate that you mention it's working together but not losing your individuality. Mm-hmm. I think that's a key distinction between perhaps collaboration, some other things that entrepreneurs might be envisioning when they think about working with other people.
Mm-hmm, definitely. And you know, there's all kinds of ways to collaborate on blogs with people, cross-promoting someone's product. I actually turned one down this morning. You have to be careful once you get on a list. I think you're on a list for other collaborations. But if you're crystal clear on your goals and your strengths, and you can kind of, you know, you can kind of recognize the right opportunity for yourself. And for myself, as an INTJ, for since you are the introvert entrepreneur, if I'm hearing somebody speak about our work together instead of me or mine or I, then I pretty much have a clue that I'm speaking with somebody who I might want to collaborate with. And Monique and I actually go into a lot of depth in a series of e-books that we've written and that we both have in PDF, and we're getting ready to release on Kindle in A Complete Guide to Successful Collaborations, where we actually talk about different ways to recognize those opportunities and get into them. But for now, and to kind of keep it brief, because I could go on forever talking about, you know, how do you define it and how do you know if it's right for you, I think probably what your folks who are listening now would want to know is you have to pay attention to both what's going on inside you and around you, something that I think that introverts are pretty adept at.
Thank you for that baseline definition here, and I appreciate that you're sharing that collaboration takes all sorts of forms, both in person and online, and that's a great thing to be noticing. So what are the benefits of entrepreneurial collaboration, especially for introverts?
Well, I'd be happy to cover that, Beth. This is Monique, and I'm happy to be here today. There's so many different benefits that you can reap from being in a collaboration, whatever type it is, even if it's just a minor involvement or something that's just a little bit more long-term, like Pat and I has been. We've been together, as she said, for a couple of years. So actually something I just thought of is that if you've been in a collaboration for a while, you actually have the benefit of knowing or having a clear idea as to who you want to partner with, and so you become that much more discerning. And at the same time, because you've got that experience and those strengths of being able to partner with somebody with success, is that you're able to attract even better or just more aligned partners more readily. Beyond that, there's also the benefit of being able to share resources and risks. You know, there's financial risks, there's the risk of taking the time out to create something or just to do something with a partner. You also are able to have greater access to more prospective clients. You can grow your business through new products and services or other offerings, which you alluded to earlier, Pat. You're also able to deliver more value. There's a lot of onus these days on making sure that you deliver, you know, a lot of value, and that's what people are looking for, especially these days as there's, you know, so much information out there and people are already overloaded information-wise. Even though introverts are really good at processing information. And so you can also add value through more people, with more people. Some of the fun, you know, a little less technical sounding, less strategic benefits are you're able to be more motivated, creative, excited, focused, and also, one thing I just absolutely love is that, you know, you're going to be more gutsy, typically. There's something that maybe you wouldn't do on your own, but when you partner with somebody else who offsets your weaknesses, then it's like, okay, sure, I'll give this a shot. You tend to have a little bit more fun because, well, as you're playing a bigger game, and your self-confidence can increase as well through partnering and feel... You may feel a little bit more solid in who you are. With introverts, you know, some moments are like strong, and other moments, if the person is feeling more in a reflective time, then, you know, sometimes they need that leverage of the other partner helping them to feel a little bit more solid moving forward. And I think one last piece, too, is you're growing your skills and your overall strengths. So actually, I wanted to mention just kind of an example with Pat and I to highlight the benefits thing. How she complements me is that she's technically more confident, you know, in terms of if you take a look at social media, anything having to do with, loading the e-books and anything having to do with the purchasing of that. And another thing which I found really a beautiful benefit, it was a nice surprise, is that she had the guts to be able to approach some very high-profile people. And so when we organized the tele-summit, then that's all we did was approach higher-profile people. And that was a lovely experience to have. So that's pretty much it.
Well, that's a lot. And Monique, what strikes me is the phrase that went through my mind is two heads are better than one.
Right.
Frequently, and I you know, I feel like I'm a solopreneur, but I'm not. I'm an entrepreneur, and I might be sort of a one person shop, but in no way is it just me. And those things that you just shared really highlight that for me. And another thing I just want to quickly follow up on is when you talked about growing your skills. And it seems like when we're collaborating with other people, we do start to have some self-discovery about what we're strong at that we might not have known.
Yeah.
Like we think, oh, doesn't everybody know how to do X, Y, Z?
So true. Things we take for granted and the other person points it out and go, oh, really? Really? That counts for something?
Right. And who knows, it might be a marketable skill that could really expand your business. And you might not have known that had you not, you know, engaged with that other person in that way.
Oh, yeah. It's so lovely. Person shining a light on, you know, your sense and you didn't know that.
With all of that good stuff that we know, what gets in the way of forming successful collaborations?
That's such an important question, Beth, and again, this is Monique. Because we are emotional beings, and we can be very focused and productive and all that good stuff, but the fact of the matter is that there's a psychology to collaborations, and the thing that pops up for me first and foremost that gets in the way is our own personal fears, you know, whether we are the solopreneur or we're the person who is open to being an entrepreneur and collaborating with others. So a practical example of that is, and I can actually vouch for this in the beginning of my collaborations, is that I was afraid of having conflicts or confrontation. So if you have this fear, then you will tend to attract it more. Because it's within you. And then, it becomes one of those things you have to face pretty much right away, because you will have at some point a disagreement, and it could be as early as when you're putting together your collaboration agreement, you know, what the terms and conditions are and so on. And it's really very, very important to be upfront about something like that, because otherwise the whole partnership will go awry very, very quickly. Some other things are more from the head, the limiting beliefs. You know, let's say about collaborations, and we tend to come in with some of our baggage from having been in other collaborations possibly or on other teams, you know, when we were in corporations. And so then we may come in with a more protective stance and be thinking, well, I don't want to repeat this, or I don't want this to happen again. But that can actually be a good thing if we voice it or we talk about it. And then we can rest assured that, you know, there's a way to work around that. And Pat and I were pretty quick to get into, you know, that kind of icky stuff, but then once you talk about it, it's okay. Some other pieces which are huge, 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 I've found, is that you need to be careful that you're working with somebody who will be open-minded enough and open-hearted enough to collaborating. So examples of somebody who would not be open-minded or open-hearted enough is that they may be stingy with sharing their thoughts, their feelings, their time, their energy, their money, and their other resources. And then they might be inflexible with regards to how they would work with and grow with you as you're partnering. So very, very key that, you know, the openings are there for the success to happen. So Pat and I like to give an example. We're very strong women. We came to that understanding pretty quickly. I mean, we butted heads in the beginning, and it's just, you know, we're very open about what we believe in, and so that was actually a good thing. And so, but after a few phone meetings and several emails later, we did come to an agreement about how we would work together, and then, you know, from that point on, it was, you know, much more of the smooth sailing because we got everything out in the open.
Well, it seems like when you talk about that icky stuff in the beginning, it keeps it from becoming icky.
Yeah, exactly. It doesn't become that monster that, you know, you could become.
Yep, grows in the closet and under the bed. And it sounds like, and this is a question I want to ask you in a few minutes in terms of how do you know someone is compatible, but Monique, something you said made me think you really need somebody who is mature. Like, yeah. you have to be secure in your vision, your business, who you are as a person in order to be a strong partner or collaborator with someone else. I want us to spend a couple more minutes talking about that in just a moment.
Definitely. I'm looking forward to talking about that.
What strengths do introverts bring to collaborations?
This is Pat Beth, and I'll take that one. You know, collaborating is pretty abstract. It's beyond being individually in your mind abstract, like a lot of introverts are. So when you've got two or more people who, even though they're the same Myers-Briggs type, that lends to you understanding each other somewhat, but you're not going to really do this on your own. So the strengths that I have found, and Monique is an introvert as well, but she may see some other skills, but what I see in general, because when you start putting in beyond the introvert, the skills really go exponentially wide. So in general, we like to analyze things. We like to organize things. We are very creative. Monique addressed that a little bit. I think because we also listen, and whether that's just because we want to listen first before we respond, or we want to listen so we understand before we reveal anything about ourselves, how much we're going to reveal, we're bringing that to the relationship. And then I think because it's not just a direct shot to you're recognizing an opportunity or coming together with someone, and now you're going to create something brand new out of two or more individuals. You have to troubleshoot it along the way, sort of like when mm-hmm. Monique was saying, you know, at first we kind of butt heads on a few things. And I actually can remember a time, and Monique probably remembers this too, because like I said, we've been in this for 2 years, and we're not always working on something, but we come back and forth and do things. And I remember our very first launch of a product was a boot camp. Do you remember this, Monique?
Mm-hmm.
We had to put our heads together because, oh my God, we thought we had created something spot on to what both of our followers wanted, but we only had two paying people going into this 6-week event, and we thought, you know, it wasn't so much the money, but we thought, oh, my God, we got to have more people just to have conversation here. You know, yeah, okay, so we're mostly probably got the quiet kind in our list, but really we had to exercise patience, but we also had to get really creative together. And when we did that, when we relaxed, and it's more often Monique telling me to relax than me telling her, although I haven't done that to her. But when we did that and we got creative and we tweaked things, I think we actually attracted just 6 people, and all those people paid to be both a participant and learn, as well as to be a participant and spread the word for us. So it ended up that when we pooled our strengths in general and then leveraged our individual personal assets, we were able to create something that could have gone sour really quick and kind of saved it. And that's, I think for me, that's one reason why I'm, you know, continue to work with Monique, because just like, you know, the other strength, the final strength I want to mention here with an introvert, when you bring into going into a collaboration, you're probably hoping you're going to deepen that relationship further. So even though you might butt heads with somebody early on, for whatever reason it is, if you can find yourself through a problem, such as we've had the opportunity to do, it's very likely you'll be able to satisfy that strength of yours, which is building a relationship really deep.
So what you're highlighting here, and something we've been circling and dancing around, is that really finding the right partner is so critical.
Oh, yes, absolutely.
It can make or break the collaboration.
Definitely. I mean, I've had a lot of broken ones, and I think Monique probably has.
Yeah.
I have some that don't even get off the ground, like the one I mentioned this morning where I got an email from someone. I'm like, nope, can't do it. Move on.
Well, and like you said, the more you do it, the more you probably attract people saying, hey, play, come to the playground with me. And you have to be really clear, and we'll get into that, I think, in just a moment, but, you know, really clear about what kinds of collaborations are going to serve you and the other person, and proceed with discernment and intentionality.
Right.
So along those lines, how do you know that you're compatible with a potential partner?
I'd love to cover that one, Beth. And so going back to, first of all, I talked about openings, and I think you need to know in advance when people are approaching you, whether you're open to collaboration or collaborations, and if you are, what kind. So what I mean is that you may have a really busy schedule, like already be in quite a few collaborations, or I don't know, maybe you've got something personal going on, which is really taking up a lot of your time and energy. So you need to be very frank with yourself and with others about when you're actually available for further collaborations or collaborations in general. And in terms of who you tend to be compatible with, we cover that in quite a bit of depth and breadth within our four ebooks, as Pat mentioned. It's called The Complete Guide to Successful Collaborations. And what we do is we talk about how each Myers-Briggs type is compatible or less compatible with another type. And I'm an introvert, as Pat said. I'm an ISFJ. So I'm a little bit different in terms of being not so much in touch with my emotions, but I can get more emotional than Pat. And in terms of the ISFJ, and so the S and the F are very closely related. So the short answer to that question is that you can tell together whether your potential for success is high or not if you're enjoying just conversing with the person and there's a certain element of ease. And that's usually a good thing to look for right away, because the chances are that if that's the first impression that you get, that will just become exponential and, you know, it'll just kind of pave the path for your collaboration. The long answer to the question is that if you resonate with the person and you respect them and you get excited about the prospect of working with that individual, and I would highlight also beyond the honeymoon phase, there's a honeymoon phase to a collaboration, which is, you know, from my experience, anywhere from 1 to 2 months, but typically 1 month. It's more when you're going back and forth and trying to decide what you're going to do together. So typically what you find if there's a good fit is that your personalities and your energy are meshing, and so are your work styles and your availability to work with one another. So for instance, if I had some partners in Western Canada, so I had to take into consideration when are they available and then how late do I want to work. And I was very upfront about this is the latest I will work and will that work with you. Other things are that this is a big piece, actually. We talked about who our ideal partner is, and we compared notes to see, you know, like, do you fit that description, and, you know, which parts could you grow in, and that kind of thing. Something else which I think comes with being an introvert is that you tend to be pretty good at emailing back and forth and not having to meet live, you know, most of the time to accomplish things, which, you know, can really save a lot of time and energy and keep you at the right level of stimulation for you. And it just, it really lends itself to staying focused and highly productive as well. So I think that's pretty much what is most important to know about compatibility.
I appreciate especially that last part when you talked about, you know, introverts. I just posted something on Facebook that said I prefer to write than I'd rather write than talk or something. And I think, you know, our comfort with the written communication and with the virtual communication really does open us up to collaboration on different levels than we might have had otherwise.
Well, and I think something I've noticed through writing is that it's not only visual, but it's also kinesthetic. So if you're highly visual and kinesthetic as opposed to just, you know, talking, which is predominantly auditory, it's almost like you get more bang for your buck when you're writing.
Well, the other thing that came up while you were sharing that, Monique, was from the book Good to Great by Jim Collins, and he has a whole chapter on first who, then what. And he's emphasizing the importance of the right people, and that once you have those right people that are energetically or technically or skillfully matched to you or to the company, you know, in that case, then you kind of can figure out what to do together after that. But that the core of the successful partnership is really in the synergy between the people, and that out of that will come something pretty amazing.
Oh, I think you hit the nail on the head there, Beth, in terms of it's attracting the right people, the good people, and then from that point you'll figure out what it is that you're here to create together or to do together. And it's not the other way around where you have an idea, you know, it's this box A, and then who's going to fit into that box A? You're looking around trying to squeeze that person into box A.
So we've touched on for a few moments, but I want us to get into a couple more details about what are the most important things to consider at the start of a collaboration to ensure the highest chance of success and the least amount of ickiness?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's really very important to know. So things like I mentioned it a little earlier, your ideal partner, to be clear about that up front and making sure that there's compatibility there. Once you have a good idea about energy and the fit that way, then you want to get clear about the type of collaboration that you're going to have and also the length of the collaboration. So with Pat and I, we just started with a project and then decided that we would reassess after the project where we were going to go next, if even at all. Some other things is that you want to ensure that you're available for and willing to work at your collaboration. So it's a relationship just like a marriage is a relationship. So is your relationship with your employees and so on. And what we found, and I mean, correct me if I'm wrong in terms of your experience, Pat, what I found is that if the person that I'm considering partnering with is in a crisis or in a transition that's super serious, you know, it could be that they're taking care of a seriously ill parent, or another situation which is actually extremely common is the person being very unclear about what their business focus is, who their target market is, what they're here to do, basically. They don't tend to be good candidates to partner with at the point that they're going through this. So there's some red flags there to watch for. Don't watch only for the strengths, also look for the weaknesses. A couple more things. So you need to discuss what your collaboration deal breakers are, very much up front. I've had some partners who just kind of went, oh, no, do we have to? And it's a pretty important one. And it's not meant to be a sign that, you know, the partnership is just going to go awry. It's not going to work out well. It's just one of those things that, you know, what would make you want to end the partnership realistically? What are the no-nos for you? And then the last thing, last but not least, is that you want to make sure you create a collaboration agreement and a mission statement together or a statement of intention.
Again, put it in writing because
yeah,
we can,
sure.
It might feel a little formal, but it might save you some grief later on, especially if you're entering into anything that has financial implications.
Right. It's very important to be upfront about how the sharing of you know, expenses and revenues are going to be, and not to make any assumptions whatsoever, because you just never know, right? Some people have never been in collaborations, and they might come in, and they have a certain way of being remunerated, and then they come in, and they think, oh, well, I can just impose that onto the collaboration. But, you know, for the most part, things go 50-50, so you need to be upfront about that kind of stuff.
So that brings me to my next question, which is about biggest mistakes. And, you know, what have you seen or even experienced yourself in terms of biggest mistakes that entrepreneurs make in setting up collaborations? And how can we avoid them?
This is Pat, Beth. I'll take that one because I don't know. I don't know that Monique and I have even talked about who's had the better success or failure ratio of collaborations. I've had a lot that have not worked out. And I think it started when I was working with Monique that things changed and I began to think about this is sort of like, and Monique's already mentioned the honeymoon phase, so I'll continue with that little metaphor. But, you know, just because you date someone doesn't mean you have to marry them. That's not necessarily the end result. So you have to be aware that there are other alternatives you can select from. So if you are finding that the romance isn't as romantic, then maybe you need to discuss it, and you might find you're going to agree totally together that you should break up. But the reality is that some people do decide not to make a commitment, even though you're having these conversations, as Monique has said, which is what leads you to, and I think early on, Monique and I actually, we maybe even worked things in a different degree with writing. We started with an exit strategy in writing.
Mm-hmm.
What if we get divorced here and we have these products that are going to continue, then how do we divvy up those things? So you've got to really maybe start with the end in mind, mm-hmm. if there is going to be an end to the collaboration for whatever reason. It could be for any number of reasons that you would end the collaboration. And I think for the introvert, the biggest thing might be that they don't want to get into that particular direction of thinking about that, but you have to. You might have to say no, as I've mentioned a couple of times, and today isn't unusual that I got an invitation. I say no to a lot of collaborations, and that comes, I think, with experience. You can kind of begin to sense from just an email from someone, if you want to take it further and talk with them, and then from there, know whether you want to say yes or no. So you've got to kind of open yourself up in the beginning, which for an introvert might be a big mistake if they didn't do that, because, you know, sometimes they want to go really slow, which is fine, but if your person who's approaching you seems to be on a faster pace, you've got to know yourself well enough to know whether you can say no or you can say yes. I had someone, not someone, it was September, I think, I must have had four or five people approach me for collaboration. There's just no way this little old introvert is going to say yes. I'm like, what's going to happen to my own business if I collaborate with everybody? So everybody understood. I just simply said, you know, I can only say yes to so many, so to you I have to say no. You have to be willing to do that. I think another mistake that you could make is, you know, with the global effect of being on the internet and attracting so many people, and I think that Monique and I worked it out pretty early up front in our relationship, is understanding the value of currency. I mean, come on, you're collaborating to bring the better, bigger part of you to the world, but there's this thing called currency and money that it doesn't go across all boundaries equally. So you really need to think about in transferring things from sales of products or services, what is the currency you're going to use? How is that going to work? What are you going to use to pay each other? Who's going to manage that payment? And there's just so many things to think about in a larger collaboration. Now, if all you're doing is collaborating to exchange blog posts or what else? Oh, maybe put an article in someone's e-zine and they put an ad for you in theirs or something like that. You know, those are low-level kind of collaborations. But as you begin to work more and more with people, what you don't want to do is let your comfort level with that person, and I'm not sure that introverts would do this, but I'm saying it is a mistake you could have happen. Don't let that closeness of the relationship have you avoid really getting into the nitty-gritties of things that must be covered as you go into some things like, you know, Monique mentioned earlier. We did a huge telesummit, and we agreed, I guess, because I said I was in a mastermind at the time, and they were all saying, you have to reach out to high-level people if you're doing this kind of thing. Well, I did. I reached out to Bob Berg. Some of your listeners might know him, the co-author of The Go-Giver. Jalene Johnson, she's the trainer extraordinaire on DVD of Million Dollar Beachbody fame. We reached out to people who we never thought we would reach out to. So when you're doing that, there's a lot more at stake. So you cannot afford to avoid thinking about all of the facets of what's involved in a collaboration. You have to do that, and you have to put some of those things in writing. And I don't know about Monique, but I'm really glad we started with the exit strategy, because then that made almost everything else seem like nothing.
Yes.
Easy peasy after that.
Yeah.
It's almost like you did a prenup.
Right. Donald Trump would be proud of us. Monique.
Absolutely.
Start with a prenup.
Well, and I was thinking as you were talking, Pat, like the products that you produce are like children, and you know, they have a life of their own after the partnership, and so it's critical to set that up. And the other little light bulb moment I had, Pat, while you were talking, was that it's really important as a team to measure to agree on how you're going to measure success.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. That is so true, because Monique and I have had that conversation a lot, because I don't know if it's three or four projects we've collaborated on, but I say our batting average is 50-50. So, you know, you've got to be ready for both success and failure.
Right. Yes. And so along those lines, the final question I have is for each of you, and I'm wondering, what have you each learned about yourselves as a result of working together that you may not have discovered had you been working alone?
I'll begin answering that question, Beth. This is Monique. I've learned that I'm capable of more than what I would have thought working alone. I also discovered, this is kind of funny, is that my preference is actually to work with a partner now. I almost find it boring to just work on my own. So I've done almost like a 180 in that regard. Those are the two key things that I've discovered. I'm sure there's some smaller things too, but the two key things.
And what about you, Pat?
Yeah, a couple of things. You know how, I don't believe I'm alone in this. You know how you might go through the day beating up on yourself in your head that you don't know this, you don't know how to do that, you know you could, but why aren't you? I think that in every case in working with someone else, it, number one, it validated strengths that I really didn't, like you said earlier, Beth, you kind of take it for granted that everybody should be that way. But on the other hand, you're not really seeing yourself with that strength. And for me, in a lot of the collaborations I've done, even if it's as simple as a blog post exchange, it's just validated about myself things that I thought were strengths, but, oh, doesn't everybody do them? So that kind of increases your self-esteem in a good way. And I think the second thing that I learned, and I think, again, you said this earlier, you know, two heads are better than one, and Monique said it in a different way, and I didn't jot that down when she said it, but it, and I think it was in particular because of the one venture that Monique and I went after, those attracting those higher profile speakers. I don't know, I started to dip my toes in with that being on my own, but for some reason, what I learned about myself in that is that when I am working with someone else, I'm more likely to step up to bat at something higher than I might have on my own.
Yeah, well, Pat, what you just shared there and what Monique shared, it takes us back to, I forgive me, I can't remember who mentioned it, but that the importance of the other person coming from a place of strength, and that you want to be partnering with someone who is not in a desperate or panicked kind of situation or unclear, because then you do step up, and it's like you're probably encouraging each other to take your game to a bigger level. So anything that we haven't touched on that you want to leave listeners with about collaboration to encourage or inspire them to be looking at this for their own business?
Well, this is Pat. I would just say, you know, dip your toes in with someone. It's very likely it crossed your mind, oh, that would be someone I'd love to work with on some level. And just do it. Start small. In your mind, you might even have an idea of how you want to work with that person, and then email them. That's a great place to start. Even if you know them in your local community, email them. That way you know it's a pretty safe environment. And just try it and see what it does for you, because it's going to bring out more of the better of you, of the both of you or several of you, if you just give it a try.
Thanks, Pat. Monique, any parting words of wisdom?
Yes, actually, I wanted to, with Pat, show our gratitude for those who are listening to the interview, and we want to give you a gift, which is actually free excerpts from our Complete Guide to Successful Collaborations, and you can claim this gift. I'm going to give you the link here, so if you listen very carefully, it's http://... B as in boy, IT as in Tom, .ly/ collaboration with a capital C and all lowercase letters after that. Ebook with a small e, big B, and lowercase OOK. And then excerpts with a capital E and then smaller case letters after that. So again, http://bit.ly/collaboration with a big C, ebook with a big B, and excerpts with a big E. So go ahead and grab those and let us know what you think.
Yeah, definitely the fruits of your collaboration. And I imagine anybody who's listening, who's contemplating collaboration, they've picked up a lot of wonderful perspectives today, and that's going to be a great place to build on that. So thank you very much for that.
It's been a fun collaboration, Beth.
Yeah, exactly. See, this is an example of collaboration in action.
That's right.
So I have a question that I wrap up all of my podcasts with, and it seems appropriate still to do it here, even though there's three of us total. So if you were granted a year's vacation on Introvert Island and you could only take three books with you, what three would you take with you and why?
Well, you know what, Beth? I'm going to say I would take my Kindle with me and hope there was wireless access, because truthfully, you know, I'm going through this decluttering phase, and it may sound like treason or something for an introvert, but I am throwing away a lot of books. So, I don't know. I'm not really sure that I would have three books. I'm looking at myself right now. Which three would I take? Actually, no, I do kind of have one that jumps out at me. I always go back to, because it's got a lot of good tips for the introvert. The Power of Full Engagement, it's an old book. It's about managing energy, not time. So that would definitely be one that, if it wasn't on my Kindle, I'd take my Kindle and that book.
Excellent. And I picked up a copy of that book a few weeks ago, so I'm glad that you called that forward, because I'm looking at it on my bookshelf right now, sandwiched in between 1,000 other books, and that makes me want to pull it out.
Well, I have my, you know, on my Kindle, I have The Isaiah Effect by Greg Braden, and that's one of my favorites, just, you know, letting you know how to get in touch and make prayer work better for you. So you know, it's the quantum physics approach to prayer. Very interesting book.
And Monique, what would you take with you?
Well, something that we did that was on the very fun side when we started our collaboration is we figured out what kind of Jane we are. I don't know what the site is called, but I'm the Jane that thinks about money. So my name is Jane Doe. And Pat is Mary Jane, which is M-E-R-R-Y, of course. So I can think of two books, not three right now. One of them that I would definitely have with me is Think and Grow Rich, which a lot of people know about, Napoleon Hill's book. And that one is just one you can just keep reading and you just find out something else that you hadn't, you know, honed in on at first. It's a little bit complicated, so you never get tired of it. And the other one is Secrets of the Millionaire Mind, Mastering the Inner Game of Wealth by T. Harv Eker.
Mm-hmm. See, that's right up with your Jane Doe.
You better believe it.
Yeah, those selections are exactly right. So it's great. Thank you for sharing those insights. And how can we learn more about each of you and your services?
The best way to connect with me is on my blog, patricia-weber.com. And there you have all my social media websites, depending on your preference of where you like to network. So my blog at patricia-weber.com would be the best place.
Great. Thank you. And Monique?
I have a couple of sites. One of them is www.energeticevolution.com, and you'll see my Facebook and Twitter and blog links on there. And then the other one is I co-wrote a book with Tita Spack, another partner, called Tipping Point to Happiness. So the other site is www.tippingpointtohappiness.com.
Well, thank you so much, Monique and Pat. It's been a great pleasure talking with you. You've made me excited about keeping my collaboration radar up and finely tuned. And so thank you so much for your generous sharing of time and expertise.
My pleasure, Beth.
Thank you so much.
As we've talked about here today, collaboration has the potential to give you energy or drain your energy. I hope the insights that Monique and Pat have shared here give you a good idea of how to judge any current or future collaborations that you're involved with. It's not always the easiest thing for an introvert to reach out for help and support. It becomes easier when we do it from a place of strength and confidence in our vision. And working in solitude or working in partnership doesn't have to be an either-or situation. It can be a both-and. Thomas Carlyle puts it this way.
the lightning spark of thought generated in the solitary mind awakens its likeness in another mind. As you think about how to achieve your goals, whether they're personal or professional, consider if the spark will burn brighter if shared with another mind. Thank you so much for joining me today for this Introvert Entrepreneur Podcast. You can learn more about my coaching for introverts, speaking engagements, and training services at www.theintrovertentrepreneur.com. If there's any way I can support you in your journey, I would love to hear from you. Have a wonderful week, and I look forward to seeing you next time.